We are going to be talking to a brave young woman called Lindiwe, who is in studio with us, about something a little different. So earlier this year, Statistics South Africa released its latest report on the state of marriage in this country. And for those of us who believe in that social institution, which is probably much of South Africa because we're a conservative bunch, it's not a pretty picture. The number of marriages is down. Divorce levels are spiking. And politicians are repeatedly entreating us to return to the nuclear family as the most stable building block of society. But the truth is that for many people, the model of marriage seems broken or at least unappealing. And then there are others who go a step further and say maybe the long-cherished ideal of monogamy itself, choosing just one partner to be with, needs to be questioned too. Such people identify in a range of ways, but some of them call themselves polyamorous, or poly for short. And we're lucky enough to have one such individual in studio with us today. Lindiwe, thank you so much for agreeing to come and share your views with us on this.
It's my pleasure. Great to be here.
Lindiwe, tell us, what is polyamory? Break it down.
Well, polyamory can be defined in a lot of different ways, and it falls under sort of an umbrella term of ethical non-monogamy. And polyamory is an awkward word, you know, it comes from two separate roots, poly from Greek, which means many, and amor from Latin, which means love. So essentially it means many loves. And people engage in polyamorous relationships in a lot of different ways. But it always comes back to ethical non-monogamy.
So ethical non-monogamy is obviously in distinction to unethical non-monogamy, which would be...
Unethical non-monogamy would be cheating.
Right.
Essentially.
Right. So ethical non-monogamy means that the non-monogamy that happens does so with the consent of all parties. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. All parties consent to it, and all parties agree to the terms of what that kind of consent means. So an ethical non-monogamous relationship could look like a don't ask, don't tell situation where one partner says, I'm super happy for you to have other partners, but actually I don't really want to know about it. But you could also have an ethically non-monogamous relationship where you have three or more people who are committed long term to all to one another in the entire constellation.
Three or more people who are committed to each other in the entire constellation. Hold on, let's just break this down. I think it's the word constellation that's throwing me off. So I meet somebody, let's call them Jane, and Jane and I decide that we want to be in a long-term relationship.
Yeah, great. Good for you too.
Thanks so much. But I decide that's not enough. Is that how it works? I would say, Jane, I think we should both of us get other boyfriends and girlfriends.
It could work like that. I think that what's tricky is that when we come to this with a sort of monogamous worldview, that might be how it is. But in reality, people have lots of different reasons for being polyamorous.
Give us some of them.
So perhaps in your situation, Jane is so wonderful, like there's so much great stuff about her, but really she's not that great at tennis, and she doesn't like tennis, okay? But you
want
a tennis
partner.
That's
definitely my deal breaker, yeah.
Who you can play tennis with and maybe go have a movie and cuddle with afterwards. So in that situation, yeah, maybe you want another partner, and you go out and you meet a great tennis player who you love cuddling with, and you say, Jane, would you like to meet Tom? And then maybe Jane will get along with Tom, and maybe Jane will also love Tom, and maybe the three of you will end up in a relationship. Or maybe Jane's like, you know, Tom's great, but, you know, you can keep him. You guys have your own thing going on, and I'll stay out of this one.
So you're saying essentially that one of the reasons why people would be drawn to polyamory is because your one partner can't give you everything in the world. Is that right?
Absolutely. For some people, that is a great reason for them to be in polyamorous relationships.
But isn't that just greedy? Shouldn't we just accept that in the same way as one friend can't fulfill all your friendship needs, that perhaps one romantic partner can't, but that's also okay?
I think everything really needs to be taken on a case-by-case basis and on a person-by-person basis. And if you're okay with one person not meeting all your needs, then that's fine. But perhaps other people aren't. And if it's ethical and if everybody involved is consenting and happy for things to be
open.
Open, then why not?
So what made you realize, if you don't mind me getting a bit personal, Lindy Way, what made you realize that monogamy wasn't for you, and when?
It was a long process, actually. I was chatting with a friend who had become polyamorous and talking with him through his challenges of opening up a relationship and so on. And it wasn't for me at that time, but I was with a man who was a serial monogamist who was horrible at breakups.
So a serial monogamist is someone who goes from one long-term relationship to another, right?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was really bad at breakups, so there was always cheating involved and very messy endings. Mm. And I felt that I started warming up to the idea of polyamory when I saw that how broken monogamy is for many people, and that if I had been in a polyamorous relationship with this person, he might have been able to explore other people without cheating and hurting people in a way that I could actually support and get behind. Mm. Yeah.
So do you think that certain people are hardwired, to use that, I can't think of another word, hardwired for polyamory, and others are just hardwired for monogamy? Or do you think we could all potentially be polyamorous and deal with the consequences?
I don't really think that there's an answer to that. I think that every person must decide for themselves how they want to relate. You know, it's like asking, are people hardwired to be homosexual or heterosexual? Well, there are a range of answers on that question, and really it's up to the person to decide for themselves what their sexuality should look like.
So I think when you describe it, I mean, on the surface, it sort of sounds quite nice. You know, you get to have all these long relationships with like a bunch of people. But most of us are human. How does one deal with jealousy in this kind of an environment?
Yeah, people love to ask this question. It's a really good question, actually.
Thank you.
because, yeah, when we get attached to people, it's our social worldview is that we own or we have a right to our partner's time. Mm-hmm. And polyamory kind of squashes that view and looks at each person as an individual with a right to control their own time. So
for you, for instance, the notion that when people say, she stole my man, you would say, well, he can't be stolen.
Exactly.
People aren't property.
Right, people aren't property. And so then coming at it from that angle makes jealousy into an emotion that feels horrible but is dealable. I mean, in our society, you know, we will say, oh, jealousy it's biological, it's hardwired into us, and therefore we just give into it and say this is a great reason for us to be monogamous. But biology also hardwires us to be really angry when somebody takes something away from us. And if people are showing displays of anger, you know, being violent towards people and the world around them, well, you send them to anger management classes. You say, get a grip on that.
We do.
And so, yeah. Jealousy is one of those emotions that you can get a grip on if you actually put the time and effort into working through it in the same way that we do with anger.
Listeners, I'm sure you have potential questions for Lindiwe. Are you in a polyamorous relationship or any kind of open relationship? If you'd like to discuss that with us, and we're very happy for you to do so anonymously, because we'll chat to Lindiwe in a bit about some of the sensitivities around this. Do you love or hate the idea of it? Call us after the break on 011-883-0702. Or 021-446-0567. SMS is to 31702 or 31567.
Azania Musaka, weekday afternoons, 1 to 3.
My understanding of democracy, if I get elected, even those who voted against me become my responsibility. It's not a question of pushing interests or factions or groups. It's what's good for the country, what's good for the people.
Reverend Frank Chikani, former member of the National Executive Committee of the ANC.
Azania Musaka on 702, your number one news and talk station.
We don't wear white gloves, but that's the kind of service you can expect from us. We don't know you personally, but we do our best to make you feel like we do. Visit a Samsung brand store today. and experience our latest signature product, the Galaxy S7 and S7 Edge, which comes with value-added signature benefits. Samsung brand stores, at your service. Samsung, a way of life.
The countdown is on at Rochester Furniture. From the 23rd of March to the 3rd of April, get quality fabric and leather couches starting from only $3,995. Save up to 40%. Hurry, limited stock available. Clock is ticking. It's not just furniture, it's Rochester. Finance available, T's and C's apply.
In the last 24 hours, what's happened in your world?
Last August, the ANC used its superior numbers in the National Assembly to rubber stamp a report absolving the president of financial liability for the Inkandla upgrades.
We cannot understand some of the senior members of the ANC on that committee. They just failed to understand simple logic and simple reasoning.
24 hours a day, Eyewitness News, in touch, in tune, and independent. 702, SMS the Friday stand-in. On 31702.
You're back with Rebecca Davis on Cape Talk and 702. It's 11:16. Thanks for being with us. We are talking to Lindiwe, who is a woman who practices polyamory, which is the art, practice, hobby of loving multiple people at the same times. I've had a few text messages, Lindiwe. Rodney says, polyogamy. Another fancy concept to show how messed up society really is. I mean, I sort of agree with you there, Rodney, but we're not actually discussing polygamy. We're discussing polyamory. Sybil says, it is commonly known as sleeping around and fancying it up so you don't feel guilty about not being able to commit or wanting your cake and eating it as well. Why can't you have friends like everybody else and commit to being loyal sexually? Nintua, why can't you just have friends like everybody else?
You know, I have plenty of friends.
Okay, that's a relief. Here's another one. I have many friends who call themselves poly, but I see this as a phase people go through because these friends end up with monogamous relationships once they've found that one person they want to be with. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, of course, that's pretty common. And I think that in our world today, complications of like raising children, buying a home, those things are our laws make it much easier for a couple to do that. So you may find that while people become outwardly monogamous, many people actually may still practice polyamory within that relationship and have an open relationship just a lot more discreetly. Some people won't, and maybe polyamory was a phase for them.
So the reason why people perhaps don't want to advertise that they're in polyamorous relationships is presumably because there's still a fair amount of ignorance and stigma. Is that right?
Well, absolutely. Didn't you hear those text messages coming through?
That was just normal, isn't it? Yeah, no, so I can imagine that there's also a huge... You shouldn't out someone who is poly, for instance, without their knowledge or approval, should you?
No, you really shouldn't do that just because there is still a lot of social stigma against it.
So before the break, we were talking about what I saw as one of the main impediments to taking up this lifestyle, which is jealousy. But surely the other one is how absolutely exhausting it sounds. I mean, most of us can barely maintain one relationship without occasionally getting completely drained. I mean, how do you just find the time and energy to maintain multiple ongoing long-term relationships? What is Valentine's Day like? I mean, tell us. How do you do it?
Yeah, that's really the crux of it, I think. For me, my relationships all operate on like quite different terms. So I'm seeing somebody who lives in another city. I'm seeing somebody who lives in another country. The kind of engagements that I have with people sort of fit into the rhythm of my life. Anyway, you know, I have friends who I like to, like I said, play tennis with. Mm. I think you make it work. You do have to do a lot of scheduling and a lot of communication. Mm. But even in a monogamous relationship, there are ebbs and flows.
Someone suggested to me the other day that polyamory is perfect for people who just love discussing their feelings the whole time. Is that what you're in it for? I'm being facetious. But look, there are some serious critiques of polyamory, as I'm sure you're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
One is that polyamory is a manifestation of narcissism. This is sort of what Sybil was saying, that you just want everything on your terms, that you want to not to take responsibility for other people's feelings. And it's just all about you.
Yeah, I mean, that's clearly a view from outside. Honestly, in my experience, I'd have had monogamous relationships where masculine gender norms made men feel as though they didn't have to take responsibility within the relationship. And I feel as though polyamory is typically built on lots more communication and everything is up for discussion.
There we go again, talking about the feelings. Some text messages for you, Lindiwe. Is this another word for swinging? Somebody wants to know.
Well, swingers typically would locate themselves under the umbrella term of ethical non-monogamy, but there are many other ways to be polyamorous.
What is swinging for those of our listeners who don't know?
Good question. Swinging is when you have a committed, usually heterosexual couple who engage with other singles or couples purely on a sexual basis.
Okay, all right. Here's somebody in support of you, Lindiwe. We do have to accept that a friend can't fulfill all criteria for friends, but we're not expected to have only one friend. So why should we have only one partner? Why also do we prioritize romantic relationships over platonic ones, which is actually a pretty deep question. Here's a pretty long one. Surely you don't have to have a relationship with someone outside your primary relationship just because they can play tennis. I mean, I have to agree with you there. I think it was an analogy, but yes, you definitely don't have to just because they can play tennis. Surely these are just friendships outside the primary, except one doesn't have to have sex with them because they're good at tennis. That's just lust. That's also insanity. Who has sex with someone just because they're good at tennis? That is from Peter. And then Steve says, I'm intrigued by the term serial monogamist and the fact that your guest almost intimated that this is a bad thing. Please explain.
Yes, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think however people want to relate is great, and they must do it ethically, and that's even greater. In my experience, the person who was a serial monogamist was just terrible at breaking up. He was unethical, and I felt that if he were able to see our relationship in a polyamorous way, then a lot more communication about his other lovers could have been on the table, and I would have been in much more support of that.
More communication again, just endless communication. Mm-hmm. How big is the poly community worldwide and to your knowledge in South Africa? Is there a growing South African poly community?
Yes, I do think there's a growing South African poly community, but it is very hard to get any statistics about it because of the social stigma. It's also growing in the US, and there are a few more statistics about that, but hard to say.
But on the rise is your sense.
Oh, absolutely.
And is there a generational difference? Is it something younger people are more drawn to, do you think?
I think very much so. I think that women today have a lot more opportunity to be financially stable on their own terms and that they can control having a family, so they don't actually have to be reliant on a man to provide the security and the safety that women 100 years ago needed. And because of that, our views on relationships are changing, and this is one way that they're changing, I think.
I actually expected someone to phone in to make this point, but they haven't, so I'm just going to make it myself.
Okay.
Which is that bodies like UNAIDS have said in the past that involvement in multiple concurrent relationships is a key driver of HIV. And as such, is it irresponsible even to endorse this as a potential relationship model in South Africa in particular?
Yeah, great question. Communication. Honestly, I think monogamous relationships, certainly in my history, could have done with a lot more of that. But typically, because everything is on the table to discuss in polyamorous relationships, safer sex is one of the main topics. And the polyamorous people I know honestly have much healthier sex habits than the monogamous people that I know.
That's very interesting. We have a call. Melanie from Mowbray. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi. I've been polyamorous for as long as I can remember. When I was a teenager, I realized there was something slightly different about me.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in love for the second time and didn't fall out of love with the first person I loved.
Yeah.
But society had told me I had to be monogamous. So I had to break up with the one person in order to date the second person.
Boo.
It was in my 20s that I discovered the word polyamory, and it immediately appealed to me with a bit of Googling and read lots and lots of reading. I realized that this was probably the best relationship style for me.
So, Melanie, can I ask you, are you out about it? I mean, you're coming on air, but that doesn't mean anything, really.
I am very, very out about it. I'm a member and an organizer for the South African Polyamory Group called ZA Poly. And you can find us on www.polyamory.co.za.
I
do, at the moment, choose not to give people my surname or any details like that, because one of my partners is not out about it.
Mm, that would be a complication.
Mm-hmm.
It is very much a complication, because I would love to shout to the world about the two amazing people that I'm in love with, but I can't do that. I have to pretend to be monogamous quite often.
You know, Melanie, I've got a question for you and Lindiwe, which is that I think most of us find it hard enough to meet one person that you find attractive enough and lovely enough and wonderful enough to sustain a relationship with. I mean, you're suggesting it's possible to find multiple people to feel deep attraction for, and love even. You say you're in love at the same time. Is it just that you guys have more love to give? I don't know how much love I have.
It's difficult. You know, I have dated quite a few people. I've met people that I'm in lust with, that I really want to be with, who excite me. But currently, my partners are someone I've been married to for 13 years, and someone who I've been dating for coming up to 3 years at the end of the month.
Mm.
And finding, you know, if you consider that I've been polyamorous for the last 15 years or longer, finding these two people wasn't easy.
Mm.
I did have to meet a lot of people. I had to go on many dates. I had to make friends. Most of the people I've dated, I've also been made friends with after the fact.
Mm. Mm.
So it's not like I will say it's easy to find a partner, a partner that you want to spend a large portion of your life with.
Mm.
But I think that goes with everything. And I think the whole point of polyamory isn't that you're always in multiple relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I know single polyamorous people. The idea is that you will not ignore the opportunity for love just because you're in a relationship with someone else.
Right. I think that's well put. Melanie, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your experiences. Lindiwe, any takeaways from that?
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, Melanie.
Yeah, so that you can be a single poly person as well.
Of course, you can be a single monogamous person. Why can't you be a single poly person?
How stupid of me. I'm so sorry for my ignorance. It is hard to find the lexicon to talk about a lot of this stuff,
course.
because we don't do it enough. The conventional gender stereotype would be that it's men who struggle most with monogamy and women who would be most threatened by it. Is there like a gender divide in the poly community? Is it men who are all like, oh yeah, and the women are like, no, thank you?
Not in my experience.
No.
But I think it comes back to a little bit of what I was saying before, that women today are much more liberated to sustain themselves and even perhaps a family if they choose. And so today women are just, they just have a lot more choice about how they want to relate.
It's also interesting that women in South Africa are now the people who most ask for divorces. Just a few texts before we say thank you and goodbye to Lindiwe. I'm sure that lots of people want to have sex with Roger Federer just because he's good at tennis. Very good point, Richard from Weinberg. My favorite tweet of the week was the observation that exactly 50%, no, three quarters of Roger Federer's name is the syllable er. Peter says, we are hardwired for monogamy to do, otherwise splits the psyche and causes enormous fallouts. That's what you have to look forward to, Lindiwe. Prioritizing an ethical approach in any relationship is a step up for most relationships of all forms. And then finally, from a man in his 60s, my wife is in a close relationship with another man. I have supported it, and in doing so, our own relationship has grown and become more heartfelt, and our sex life is much more emotionally grounded in the love we have for each other. Well, that is a lovely note to end on. Lindiwe, thank you so much for coming into studio and for sharing your story with us. If listeners wanted to get in touch with you or in touch with other resources, is there anything you can recommend?
Well, like Melanie said, polyamory.co.za is a great resource. They have lots of links. And then there are a few books, The Ethical Slut and More Than Two. Yes, it's perhaps an unfortunate name in our conservative society, but it's really great book.
You've stopped me from having to use the word slut on air today. Thank you so much to Lindiwe. You're listening to 702 on Cape Talk. It's 11:30 and Regan Thor has the latest.